You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 66, southwest winds around 5 miles an hour, and it'll be becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 2 p.m. and 5, and mostly sunny, though, with a high near 892. Ugh. Calm winds becoming south 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon, and a chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tuesday night is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 68. Light south winds, chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday, you're going to have scattered showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny. Well, if it's going to be scattered showers and thunderstorms, when's it going to be partly sunny? I don't understand that, but that's me. With a high near 88, calm winds becoming south 8 miles an hour in the morning, and chance of precipitation is 40%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Scattered showers Wednesday night and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 69, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inchamberradio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, hunterdonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success and real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Mental Health Matters. My name is Larry Cartwright. I'm your host. And this is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and in Hunterdon County, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We work out of our houses. Obviously, we don't get paid other than in gratification of helping someone. But we do that in many ways. We have support groups for families who have someone in their family who is suffering from mental illness. We have we teach classes, a 12-week course called Family to Family, which is for families to learn more about what their loved one is going through. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be your relative. It could be a friend. It could be, you know, your next-door neighbor. Or it's just someone you care about. We have a basics course that is a 6-week course that's taught for families who have children under the age of 17 who are having problems with some kind of mental health issues. Everything we do is free. There is no charge. All the materials and classes and stuff like that is all free. The only thing with the classes is you have to register. Today we are very privileged to have with us a very attractive young lady, Chelsea.
Hi.
Hi. And it's Chelsea Martin, and she is with the Progressive Center for Independent Living. I never heard of that until I met Chelsea. And so I'm going to let her tell what the Progressive Center for Independent Living is and, you know, how it came about.
Yeah.
So you're on.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me here today, Larry. I am very privileged to have met you at the Hunterdon County Day, and he was so gracious to invite me on today, so thank you. I work at the Progressive Center for Independent Living. It is a center for independent living, and there is one in every county throughout the country. So, yeah, we're everywhere. It's specific to each county. So the Progressive Center for Independent Living covers Hunterdon and Mercer County.
Okay.
So it's different in every county. It's going to be a different name, but we do all operate under the same philosophy, which is that individuals with disabilities can do the same exact things that people without disabilities can do. And we help people do that. We operate under four core services, which is information and referral, is our first one. Our second one is individual and system advocacy. Our third one is peer counseling and support. And our fourth one is independent living skills instructions. So every county's Center for Independent Living is different. However, we all operate under those four core services.
Courses. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So
now, briefly, those four, could you elaborate a little bit about information and referral?
Sure. So if you're an individual with a disability or you know someone who needs some help, you can always call up your local center and say, hey, my son needs help, or my son, my friend, right. I'm a person with a disability. We need help finding a job. We can connect you to information within your county, or we can refer you to somewhere. the second core value I mentioned, which is individual and system advocacy, that would be we could, if you need more help within that process, we can work on your with you on your behalf, advocating to get you that information or to get you that those results that you need. Peer counseling and support was the third core value I mentioned, and that is you can come into our office, say you need help applying for a job, say you need help filling out some paperwork, mm-hmm. say you need help discovering what you like to, you know, for a job, figure out, you know, what your skills are. We can help you with that. And independent living skills instruction was the fourth core value I mentioned, and that is sometimes you just need help becoming independent. We want to make an individual with a disability as independent as possible. We can help you get there. Maybe you need help, like I said, filling out paperwork, hiring. You need help finding a one-on-one to help you in your house, mm-hmm. you know, so you can live independently. We try to take you through all those steps and help you figure that out.
You know, it's when you say, you know, independent living for folks who have disabilities. Now, disability could be physical.
Yep.
It could be mental.
Yep.
Combination of both.
Yep. Developmental.
Developmental.
Yep. Everything.
You know, and yeah, and it's very, I think it's wonderful, personally. But I would think it'd be very hard to, first of all, that person has to want to be independent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot of people don't. I know I'm speaking from experience with NAMI, dealing with families who have someone either in their family or, you know, whatever, husband or wife or spouse or whatever, who have a mental health issue along with some other issues. And they like the situation the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're, it could be an adult child. It doesn't have to be a, you know, a teenager. But they're living at home.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
mommy does everything
know.
For
yeah.
them, you know. And, you know, they don't have to cook. They don't have to do anything, yada, yada. And, you know, everything's
and,
fine.
And, yeah, the word independent can be very overwhelming to someone who
exactly.
has a disability.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, first, we have to want, you know, the individual has to want the change to happen or, you know, just want the information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, typically I find that people do want that information. Maybe they're a little bit overwhelmed with the process, but just getting that information makes them a little bit more comfortable with the whole process.
Right, right.
So.
And, all right, let's just say, I see here that it was started by a fellow named Ed Roberts in
yes.
Berkeley, California.
Yeah. He was an individual with a disability. He lived in Berkeley, California. He went to school at Berkeley, and he went to his local DVR, which is the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much told him that he was too disabled to work. So he had a problem with that. Good for him.
Yeah, really.
He ended up going to Berkeley. Berkeley was not accessible at that time, so he advocated for himself and others for Berkeley to become accessible. He went to school there, graduated, and then became actually the head of DVR.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know.
And he was the one who started the Centers for Independent Living.
You know, and it's, I think it's awesome because just because someone has a disability doesn't mean that they should be left out of the world.
No way.
So to speak. I know that my youngest son is schizophrenic and has been hospitalized for over 2.5 years at one stretch and in and out of the hospital numerous times after that. But right now he's doing very well. He has his own apartment. He about 4 or 5 months ago he got a part-time job at BJ's. Which he loves, and you know, but it didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
We've been dealing with this for about 18 years because
mm-hmm.
he was right around 20 when his first incident happened and why he wound up in hospital. But people can do things just because they have a disability, whether it's physical, mental, whatever. They can do things.
Yeah, and I found that I think parental expectations of an individual with a disability and how their parents sees them. Oh, you know, you're disabled, you can't work. You're rolling your eyes. I know. I think it all starts with the parents and how, you know, you talk to your child and how your expectations of them in life and becoming independent. So,
yeah, and I wanted to first, well, not I won't say the first thing, but one of the things that my wife and I wanted to do with our son was, yeah, he has two brothers and a sister, but they're siblings. They're not parents of him. Yeah, they watch out for him. Yeah, they help him when they can, but they're siblings. They're not his parents.
They're not caretakers.
Right. And they have their own lives.
Yep.
So we wanted to, with the realization that we're not going to be around forever, get him as independent as possible. Who to call if you got a problem? Or, you know, what if your medicine isn't right? Who do you, you know, what doctor you call? Because he's got about three different doctors. And, you know, so... And so far, he does very well with that, thank goodness. But
does he have a job coach?
He did.
Yeah,
he was in
a while.
The one at the medical center. I can't think of the name of it. And he still has. She's still
awesome.
With him. He sees her, I think, once every couple of weeks.
Is that through DVR?
I'm trying to think where it was through. I don't think it was, to be honest with you.
That's just one example of services that a service that DVR can provide.
Right. I can't think of the name of the thing, and it just skipped my mind, you know. But anyway, it's through the medical center, and he had it at the medical center. And but you know, I think it's awesome that there is an organization like this that does help people with disabilities.
A perfect example of how the Progressive Center for Independent Living could help somebody is. Say you weren't sure of the resources in the community for your son. He just got diagnosed. Maybe he's not really ready to go get a job right now. You could call the Progressive Center. We could refer you to DVR. We could give you some more information. We can have a meeting with your son, you know, have him write down some of his goals, the steps to get there, you know, do some independent work with him.
Right, right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really you know, like I said, I think it's wonderful that there is places that people with disabilities can go to get help and get their lives back in order and get on with it. You know,
totally.
Now, career was it career getaway?
Career Gateway.
Oh, Gateway.
Yeah.
That's your writing. I couldn't read it.
That is my writing.
I'm only kidding, but yeah, okay. Career Gateway.
Career Gateway is under. So how I was saying before, how every Center for Independent Living operates with those four core values.
Right.
However, we all do different programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a and this is kind of expired, an expired grant, but hopefully it will. You know,
renewed.
Start back up.
Right.
But it's a student transition grant from actually the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. And we helped individuals who were 18 to 30. You know, we really didn't have an age limit. I mean, if we didn't think it was appropriate, but we would meet with them and go over independent living skills. That would happen twice a week. It was like a classroom environment. And then we would actually take them out into the community and do job sampling sites. For 6 hours, we would do three of them. And that kind of showed us...
Job sampling, meaning take them to a place of...
Of their interest.
Of their interest,
so,
that they may want to work at, say, like ShopRite or something like that. Yeah.
We tried to think outside of the box and not just place, you know, individuals with disabilities in, you know, the cliche cart pushing, bagging, stuff like that, which is, they're great jobs, I mean. But we tried to... We had some individuals who were interested, you know, the guys were loved video games. We took them to an animation place where they loved it. They got to string together video games and see how, like, you could actually make a job out of that.
Right.
We had a gentleman who was interested in writing. We took him to the Courier News. Some gentleman,
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, some gentleman was interested in being a bail bondsman. So
whoa.
I know that was kind of the more outlandish one,
right,
that we got, but it's a job. So we took him to a bail bonds company. He was a bounty hunter for a day, and these are all supervised. We have, you know, our staff is there.
Right. Right.
And it's 6 hours, and we evaluate them kind of like a job coach. So we see what their strong points are, what, you know, they're really great at, what they need some more help in, if it's social, if it's, we kind of pinpoint it so we can report back to DVR, and they have more information than just having a sit down meeting with them, with
mm-hmm.
DVR.
Right, right.
So
I know, as I was telling you before when we were off the air, that I've been out of hosting the show for a while because of an illness. But last week, we had some people on from CEA,
Center for Educational
Advancement, and it's an organization within CEA called Core Values.
Mm-hmm.
And they had someone that went through their core value course,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word, and now works for them,
nice.
As an assistant, paperwork,
yeah.
typing, and
something,
all that.
Something maybe administration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
And that is cool, you know,
yeah.
and that's similar to what you guys are doing also, and that's, I think
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, what we were doing.
Right.
So now we're kind of focused on some other programs.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, we actually had a driving readiness course. So 2 days a week, we met in a classroom environment, and we went over driving questions.
Okay.
Driving instructions.
Right.
So what an individual would see on the test, on the written test to get their permit,
mm-hmm.
we kind of did a tutoring session that was 8 weeks. And then at the end, we took the people who were in the classroom
right.
to actually take their test.
Tests.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was great, and a lot of people passed.
Good.
So it was very good to see.
You know, I think that the more that organizations like yourself and others doing this type of work, the general population, I don't want to say is ignorant, but in a lot of cases are, when it comes to someone with a disability.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, they're not 100%
mm-hmm.
normal, so we don't bother with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's so totally wrong, you know, because first of all, they don't realize that these are human beings. You know, they cut themselves, they bleed.
Yeah.
You know? They have ups and downs like everybody else. They have, you know, great things happen and they have bad things that happen.
Yeah, just
so,
like everybody.
And it's just like what everybody else goes through.
Yeah, I think, which is great, speaking how you were saying that they're, you know, people aren't that educated about individuals with disabilities. New Jersey is now, well, has been for a few years, a workforce state.
Mm-hmm.
So individuals with disabilities now have to pretty much opt out of working instead of opt in.
Right.
So everybody with a disability should be considered for a job, should have a job, and if they don't have a job, why not?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like everybody else.
Sure, sure. And you know, the thing is, too, it's like what NAMI's trying to do is break the stigma that's attached to mental illness.
Yeah.
And we give, well, it's myself and this other woman give presentations monthly to an organization here in town, and have been for a couple of years. And we always start off with two screens of all these famous people who had mental illness. And it's just like, yeah, there's actors on there. Yes, there's actresses on there. But there's also Thomas Jefferson. And usually there's maybe 10, 15 people in the room where we're talking. And it's usually, you know, informal. It's not like we're standing up talking to them. We're all sitting around. And I would say that Thomas Jefferson wouldn't come in this room. And they'd all give me that look, and I'd say, yeah. He had agoraphobia, I think it's called, where numbers in a room, just he wouldn't do it.
Wow.
He could stand on a balcony and talk to 5,000 people. That was fine. He wouldn't. When he was writing the Declaration of Independence, he would meet with Franklin, hand him the papers. Franklin would go into the room. He'd go back home. People don't know that.
Yeah.
But if you go to Philadelphia and do the little thing they have up there, they say that.
Oh.
You know, and you think around, there's so many people that you look and say, Winston Churchill carried England on his back for 7 years during the Second World War, suffered from major depression.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, and you're sitting there saying, whoa, really? You know. But it's just, it goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like I said, there's actresses and there's actors and, you know, Robin Williams and so on and so forth. But a lot of people that you wouldn't think, Robert E. Lee, suffered from depression. You know, you just keep going on and on. You know, it's just, so it's kind of interesting that there is still that stigma attached to it. And it's not only to, and it's not only to mental illness. No, you're right. It shouldn't be. But it's not only to mental illness. It's to disabilities of all kind, you know, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or what, you know.
You telling me that story reminded me, I forgot to mention that Centers for Independent Living employs 51% of their employees are a person with a disability.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And individuals who sit on our boards, 51% have disabilities.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's something that we're really proud of.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of practicing what you preach.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Well, three members of our board, of NAMI's board, have mental illness. So, you know.
I mean, you can understand more.
Sure.
You know, and we have individuals. My boss is an individual in a wheelchair. And to be honest with you, when I first started working there with him, I didn't know how to approach him. I was interning at the Progressive Center, and I wasn't sure how to, you know, oh, do I get him this? Like, how much help does he need? So I learned so much just by working with my boss, who's a brilliant, brilliant individual, Scott Elliott. He's awesome. And I learned so much just by working with him.
Just because someone's, whether male or female, it doesn't matter. Just because they're in a wheelchair doesn't mean that they're ignorant.
No.
Or dumb.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
But it's just saying that I wasn't exposed to,
sure, absolutely,
you know, individuals.
Right. In your upbringing, you didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know,
specifically in wheelchairs. So I wasn't really, I didn't have that schema. I didn't
right.
know what, I mean, I knew he was, you know.
Sure, he was disabled and everything, but,
yeah, so,
you know. But how much did he could do or couldn't
exactly.
do? You know, and that's the
thing. And
it
was just me getting comfortable.
Sure,
with,
absolutely.
You know, and now I'm so comfortable with, you know, all disabilities, hopefully, you know, that I can not have that.
Not be judgmental.
Yeah. And be intimidated almost by,
right.
you know, how much,
oh,
help
absolutely.
How much help should I give them? What's right? What's wrong? What's, you know, what do they need? I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
So.
Right. And it's a fine line,
yeah.
you know. But I think that you doing that is awesome. And people like yourself who work there, who do not have a disability, but help the people that do, I think is wonderful. I really do. And that's why I wanted you on the show, because since we're on the internet, it goes out
everywhere.
All over, you know. So, because I think that, and like you said, it's in every county in the country.
Yep.
So it may not go by Progressive Center for Independent Living, but it may go for something else.
But it's always the Center for Independent Living.
Right.
It's going to be a different word in front of the Center for
right.
Independent Living.
But
so.
It doesn't matter. It's the
yeah.
same, basically.
Same,
the same principles,
yep,
the same core values
same
and
philosophy.
Stuff. Right. With that, we're going to take a quick break.
All
You're
right.
listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be right back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterton County. The 27th annual Hunterton County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterton Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corky & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterton business community.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us Chelsea Martin.
Thank you. Who
is with the Progressive Center for Independent Living, which we've been talking about for basically the last half hour or so. And we have gone over a few things, the core values of the center and people that they help and so on and so forth. We want to talk about support coordination.
Yes.
Okay. So if you could address that.
Sure.
This
is a new program that we are doing that we are so excited. We are partnered with DDD, the Division of Developmentally Disabled, and pretty much they have contracted out case managers to local agencies who qualify to be support coordinators. So what support coordination is pretty much case management for DDD. To qualify, you say you know someone who has a developmental disability and is registered with DDD. They could be eligible for a self-direction budget. So a self-direction budget is an amount of money an individual gets each year. It could be anywhere from $16,000 to $30,000, depending on their level of support needs. And that money can be used to purchase services in their community to pretty much fill up their day and to support them and make them be the best that they can be. To qualify, you need to be 21 years and old or older, have a developmental disability before the age of 21. Also, DDD now recognizes mental illness, so that's something new that they did a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I have an individual who's on my who I do support coordination for, who is an individual with schizophrenia.
Okay.
So, and he has benefited hugely from his yearly budget from DDD. It's pretty much this budget is in place of individuals who are just going to day programs all day or mm-hmm. doing nothing. They graduated the school system, and now what? They had all of that support when they were, you know, 21 and under, and now it's like they're just hanging out at home or going, not doing much of anything.
Right, right.
So you have to be Medicaid eligible, registered with DDD, before have a developmental disability before the age of 21. And also, you have to take an NJCAT, which can be found on, you know, DDD's website.
Okay.
And just, they evaluate you to pretty much determine your level of need.
Okay.
So after that process is done, you would select a support coordinating agency. The Progressive Center for Independent Living does support coordination in Mercer County and in Hunterdon County.
Okay.
So we're very excited about this.
Is it a new thing?
We have been doing it since January.
Okay, so it's fairly new then.
Yeah, fairly new. But it's been around for a little while. Progressive Center just started doing it in January. So
okay,
and I love it. I'm a support coordinator, and I absolutely love it. I love being involved in, you know, families' lives and seeing how much growth occurs after services are purchased and, you know, how individuals who utilize their community.
Right, right.
So it's been great.
That's awesome. And that's not under a grant or anything then, is it?
No, that is, so DDD contract out case managers.
Oh, okay.
So case managers, they're still in DDD. Mm-hmm. However, they're now support coordinators. Support coordinators do pretty much all the paperwork for the family's budget.
Okay.
For the individual's budget.
Okay.
They communicate with the state. I say that we're pretty much like a liaison for the families and DDD.
All right.
Yeah.
What is disability awareness training?
Disability awareness training is a program that we do for, we've mainly been doing it in the school, in school districts, and it's like an hour, 45 to an hour long program that we educate youth about individuals with disabilities and do stimulated workshops about technology that individuals with disabilities use. So my boss, I mentioned earlier that he's an individual in a wheelchair, and it's great because he comes and he chats with the kids, and they ask him all kinds of questions.
I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
And he answers them.
Sure.
He wants to educate.
Sure.
And so it gets kids familiar with disabilities, what disability looks like, how people with disabilities use, you know, different equipment, how it feels to have a disability. We bring wheelchairs. We have stations set up that stimulate a disability, so each kid has a turn to, you know,
right
to experience what it's like to live with a disability.
Sure. And is this in high school or is it in grammar school or both?
It's typically in elementary school.
Elementary school,
yeah.
Okay.
So, but I mean, we're open to do any type of school, but usually it's elementary school.
Okay.
There's we were the busiest during Disability Awareness Month.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. So. So I mean, if you want any information on that, Jamie McGeady at the Progressive Center, she handles, you know, scheduling and all of that.
Okay. So. Okay. No, I was just curious because I think that's awesome.
It is. Know. It's so fun.
Well, not only that, but you know, we're teaching young kids what it's like for people who have a disability, you know, to accept them as human beings.
Exactly.
You know.
And they can see firsthand what it's like to, you know, have a disability and to experience it and the frustrations that come along with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are many.
Yeah. So know. We love it. We love the disability awareness trainings.
Okay.
Yeah,
that is cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I know that we don't want to talk too much about it's all about work, but what?
Oh, no, we can. It's all about work is under our transition services. We go into high schools and we start the conversation about work. And Renee Pfaff, she's with the Progressive Center for Independent Living. She does a great job at teaching a class that is independent living skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only in high school. We do it in elementary schools also. We do it all ages. But it is, we go into the school. We teach kids about budgeting, transportation, all independent living skills.
Is this
that you might
the special
not.
Ed classes you go
usually.
To, or is it? It's usually special
usually
ed classes,
special
right?
Special ed classes.
Okay.
Applications, how to fill out an application. We connect individuals with DVR.
Okay.
So we start the conversation and we teach, individuals mm-hmm. independent living skills.
Right.
So
right.
That's a great program too.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have Chelsea Martin with us.
Yes, and, thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's been a pleasure because I just think that it's awesome, the work you guys are doing. What is Campership Grant?
The Campership Grant is a scholarship that is for individuals in Mercer County that have an IEP. Individualized Educational Plan. It's 4 to 20.
I hate acronyms. I'm sorry.
I know. It's okay. I do too. it's for ages 4 to 25, and it's a scholarship
mm-hmm.
from the Mercer County Office of Disabled, and they give money for kids to have a camp experience. So it's a camp of the family's choice. The qualifications are you have to have an IEP. You just submit your tax info, and everyone's guaranteed something.
Now, who has to submit the tax info? To parents?
The parents.
Okay.
Yep. Unless the individual is their own guardian, because it is from, it's 18 to 25, too. So it's 4 to 25.
Okay.
So an individual can submit an application on their behalf. So this... This year, we had such a successful summer. We had over 60 participants apply and use the Campership Grant.
Okay.
Some of them are using it right now. So they will get, the camp will either get money on their behalf, or if the parent covered the camp costs, the parent will get a check from the Progressive Center for Independent Living.
All right, let me ask a question. Oh, you said... They don't go to one camp. They can go to any camp?
Yeah. It's the camp of the family's choice. So it doesn't even have to be in Mercer County. It could be anywhere. Right. Sleepaway camps.
Well, there's not too many camps in Mercer County, is there?
There's a few. Yeah, there are.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, people use the funds for sleepaway camps, for tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be a camp-like experience. It doesn't have to be typical camp, you know.
Volleyball, pool, yeah. And all that jazz.
Some people use it for tutoring for their children.
Okay.
Anything. It just has to occur within the summer months.
Right, right. Man, that's pretty cool,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, awesome.
So why come Huntington County doesn't have this grant?
I hope, you know, one day they'll get it.
Who do you have to apply to?
Well, the Office of Disabled in Mercer County, they have the money. We're just the grant managers.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they have the money, but how did they get the money? Was it through a grant?
Well, it's just through Mercer
County.
Well,
they created it?
Yeah, Mercer County just allocated funds. They're like, you know what? Individuals with disabilities, not enough of them are going to camp because it could be a financial burden, and I think it would be really beneficial for them, so they allocate.
You hear that, Huntington County? Freeholders?
Yeah, it's so great, and I hear such positive feedback from families and campers.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, anything that, you know, when you say, what is it, 18 to 25 or something you said?
4 to 25.
Four to 25. Well, if you get up, yeah, obviously from 4 to 15
mm-hmm.
or thereabouts, It's cool because, you know, they go to camp.
Yeah.
You know. You get over that age and it's like they're adults, you know, but they may never have had this opportunity to do this.
Right.
Whether it's because of lack of funds on the parents' side or because the parents spent so much on
the
trying to get them healthy and, you know, in their care.
It's expensive, you know.
Tell me about it.
But it's just so, you know, individuals with disabilities aren't just sitting at home because we don't want people with disabilities isolated. Absolutely not. We want, you know, and that's, DDD has been great, the Division of Developmental Developmental Disability, that's a mouthful, has been great about their requirements on what they expect from individuals who use their services,
mm-hmm.
like I was talking before about individualized budgets, 51% of the time they have to be in the community. So
right.
there's no, you know, DDD does not recognize occupational training centers, which is just simulated work in a workspace or inside
right.
all day.
Right.
They want individuals in the community.
Sure. And, you know, I know for the longest time we tried, well, I volunteer at the hospital and have for a while. One day a week, but, you know, and I tried for the longest time to get my son to do it because he didn't have a job, he didn't work, and, you know, he wasn't doing too well
mm-hmm.
at the time. And finally got him to, you know, think about going and volunteering at the hospital. And he says to me, well, you know, Dad, I don't want to do some stupid job that means nothing. I says, okay, well, let me ask you something. I said, if they put you into the basement rotating the medication, which they have to rotate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that's a stupid job that does nothing? And he looked at me. I says, think about it. You're in the hospital. You're ill. You're sick. You had an operation, whatever the case may be. And do you want outdated medication? Isn't that important?
Yeah.
He says, you know, I never thought of it that way. I says, well, he volunteered there. He still volunteers
awesome.
There. He used to volunteer 4 days a week. Now he does one because he works
working
the other.
At BJ's,
yeah,
right?
Right, because he has the part-time job there.
Yeah,
but,
nice.
So, but he still does Mondays at the hospital.
I'm sure the hospital loves that. They appreciate that so much.
And you know, it's you know, what's cool too is that everybody knows him because you know he was there. He was up in what they call 2 Central, the lockup ward, and you know, so he's been in and out of there, and he's been through day program there and all that.
Nice.
So a lot of people know him there,
mm-hmm.
and but it's just, you know, that he wanted something that was important to do, not just a do nothing type job.
Definitely,
you know, just to say, oh well, we got you volunteering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, by him volunteering, got him out of bed, got him to get up, shower, shave,
That's
and
great.
Go in.
Yeah, it gives
and
people
you know it
a
gives
reason.
People a reason to get up in the morning.
Absolutely. I know I've made so many connections and friends by working, and, you know, it's filled, you know, such I think it fills something in everybody.
Sure.
Disability or not disability.
Right.
It's good. Work is good.
Right.
So it's so important for, everyone to realize that there needs to be places for individuals with disabilities to work, to feel that, to have a reason to get up in the morning, in the job manner, in that way.
Exactly. And, it reminds me of a phone call I got a while back. A woman called me and she says, my daughter won't get out of bed. She says she stays in bed all day long. I says, okay. What would you want her to do if she got out of bed? Well, I wanted to get up and get dressed and take a shower. I said, okay, suppose she did that. Then what? Well, come downstairs, have breakfast.
Okay,
after breakfast, now what? Walk the dog. Okay. Then go get a job. I said, all right, let me ask you something or do something for me. Don't bother her for a couple of days. Leave her alone. Let her stay in bed. If she wants to get up and eat, fine. She gets up and eat. If she doesn't, don't bother. Don't bust her chops. Don't nothing. Don't leave her alone. About 3 days later, she calls me back. She says, my daughter got up. I says, really? What did she do when she got up? She took a shower and got dressed. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I says, back off. Don't do anything. Calls me back a couple days later. Oh, my daughter went downstairs. She had breakfast. She's now walking the dog. I says, ma'am, it's not that your daughter didn't want to get up. It's not that your daughter didn't want to come down and get dressed and shower and have breakfast and walk the dog. It's at that particular time she couldn't. She couldn't bring herself to get out of bed for whatever reason was holding her back. I says, and when parents keep busting about, do this, mm-hmm. get up. I says, all it does is force that person deeper into a shell that they're not coming out of anytime soon. I says, by backing off, you gave her space. She wanted to get up. She just couldn't at that time. Her emotional problems and mental problems were too much for her mm-hmm. to get up and face. Now she has found a reason to get up and face them and can, handle it better than at that point in time. And it's pretty much the same thing, when you think about it,
It's when, the individual is ready.
Yeah.
And ready to conquer and...
Yeah, and that may take time.
Yeah.
It took quite a few years with my son. But thank God now he's doing it.
Yeah.
And he's no different than a lot of other people we have met over the years through support groups and classes that we teach and so on and so forth with the same thing. Their son doesn't want to do anything. Well, I don't think it's that he doesn't want to do anything. I think it's that at that point in time in his life, he can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's not able to do it,
So I think it's important just to make people educated on the information that's out there for when they are ready, for
exactly.
when they have their kids are ready, mm-hmm. where to go when that actually
absolutely.
Happens.
I agree with you 100%.
So.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree. It's just, and it's so hard sometimes to get people to get on board with that, because their way of thinking, I always say that mothers are like bears, mama bears. They hold the cubs close, Fathers, I can fix that window. It's broken. I can fix it. Oh, the car's wrong. I can fix the car. They can fix everything. With a lot of these disabilities and a lot of mental illness, there's no way they can fix it. So they get yourself out of bed, go get a job, do this, blah, blah, blah. And they're only hurting the person more because they can't do that.
Yeah.
And, it's like, there's a certain amount of cuddling you can do, but then there's a certain amount that we have to step back and let go.
You're absolutely right.
And the same thing with the parents, with the father. You can't fix this, so learn to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And help them as you can, So, is there a real quickly? What's a TBI fund?
Traumatic brain injury. We do case management for individuals that have traumatic brain injuries.
Okay.
So that can be we help individuals get money
mm-hmm.
for their TBI services.
Okay.
That would be Jamie McGeady. I'm going to give you the phone numbers.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, cool. I'd love to.
So our Hunterdon County office is 908-782-1055. And our Mercer County office is 609-581-4500.
Okay, is there an email address of someone, or is a website that someone can look up?
There's a website, www.pcil.org, and you can like us on Facebook at Progressive Center for Independent Living, NJ.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Chelsea, I can't thank you enough for coming.
I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, Larry.
I promise you, you will become back.
Oh, I hope.
You will. I promise you.
This is my first time on the radio, and I loved it.
Well, that's because you had a good host.
Yes, definitely.
I'm only kidding. But no, seriously, I just think what you guys are doing is awesome. And more of people have to be involved in things like this so they can help people. And that's what it's all about, is helping people, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, I really mean it, that you will be back. We will have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Investigators are reviewing Hillary Clinton's private server and are finding more classified emails, according to the Washington Post. South Carolina Representative Trey Gowdy, chairman of the House Select Committee on Benghazi, says this is not a political witch hunt.
Whether she's just terribly mistaken a lot or whether there's an intent to deceive, I'm not smart enough to be able to answer that question. I can just tell you this, she's wrong.
He spoke on ABC's This Week. The newspaper is reporting that the figures are likely to grow, but it will take several months to complete the review process. An earthquake has rattled the San Francisco Bay Area, but there are no reports of injuries. The U.S. Geological Survey said the 4.0 magnitude quake struck this morning and was centered just north of Piedmont near Berkeley. It was felt in downtown, along the peninsula, and in the East Bay. It is not immediately known if the quake caused building damage. This is USA Headline News.
Hey, what's going on here?
Haven't you heard? Handwriting can make you awesome, and that's why BIC's on a mission to save it.
Handwriting can make me awesome?
Yeah. Writing could boost your self-confidence, spark creativity, and it definitely makes you a better reader. And that's pretty awesome.
Huh, I never thought of it like that. I want in. Toss me a BIC.
This year at Back to School, join the movement with BIC and fight for your right. See how awesome writing can be, how great you can be. Learn more at BIC, Fight for Your Right. That's WRITE.com. Or grab a BIC today and see for yourself.
Gorgeous! Oh, you are the most beautiful bride I've ever photographed.
Oh!
Yes! I am witnessing a fairy tale unfold!
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Direct Energy. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Sounds of crews in Bangkok responding to an explosion. It rocked a shrine at a major intersection during the evening rush hour. The explosion reportedly killed more than a dozen people and injured others. The National Safety Council says a growing economy and falling gas prices are contributing to a record number of miles driven by Americans and more traffic deaths as a consequence. The first 6 months of the year saw a 14% increase in traffic deaths to nearly 19,000 people. But the National Safety Council president, Deborah Hirschman, says there are other factors too.
We know as Americans we tend to have lead foot
But unfortunately, we're also seeing states raise their speed limits, encouraging faster speed.
If the trend continues, traffic deaths could exceed 40,000.